In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we want to get somewhere, we have to know where we are going. And if we want to build a house, we have to have plans to know that house is going to look and how it's going to be constructed. We have to have a goal, and we have to know what that goal is if we ever want to accomplish anything in life. And that's true in the spiritual life as well. In the 13th section of Psalm 118, which in Hebrew every verse begins with the letter mem, which is, if you transliterated that in English, would be M, we see an image of what it is that we're shooting for in the spiritual life, an image of what it means to be a mature Christian. It says, "Oh, how I have loved thy law, O Lord, the whole day long it is my meditation." Many people obey God's law out of fear of punishment, and that's better than not obeying God's law, but that's not a perfect motivation. It's far better to obey God's law because you love Him. And if you love God and His Word, you'll think about both of them all the time. St. Paul says in his epistle to St. Timothy, "Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." That's what the goal is. St. Athanasius the Great says that a beginner strives to live according to the law with his whole heart, but nighttime represents that period of time when he fails to do so. So there's day and there's night for the beginner, for someone who's not attained this level of spiritual maturity. But for those who have achieved holiness, there's no longer any night, there's only day. And so he meditates on the law all the day long. "Above mine enemies hast thou made me wise in thy commandment, for it is mine forever." The person who loves God's law and meditates on it day and night is made wiser than the enemies of his soul. He's prepared to escape out of their every snare, and such a person is unwavering in their commitment to serve the Lord without departing either to the right hand or to the left. "Above all that teach me have I gained understanding, for thy testimonies are my meditation." This may seem like a boastful thing to say, but there was a baseball player who some of you might know the name of, Dizzy Dean. He had a saying, "It ain't bragging if you can do it," which if you were to paraphrase that, you could say it ain't boasting if it's true. And there's no limits to the grace of God if one will allow the Word of God to instruct him, and they can exceed their earthly instructors in wisdom and understanding. And that's no shame on their instructor, because an instructor would like to see his students surpass him in knowledge. He would like to see him go beyond his own abilities, if that's possible. And that's not to say that we're there, but that's where we want to try to be. We want to surpass even those that instruct us in the faith. We want to strive to get as close to God and to know Him as well as we possibly can. "Above mine elders have I received understanding, for after thy commandment have I sought." This might even seem even more boastful. But the fathers say that there are those who are elders in a spiritual sense, and there are those that are just old, and they're none the wiser for it. We should humbly listen to the former, but not the latter. And we see this most clearly illustrated in the life of Christ himself, where we regularly hear about the elders who sought to kill him and opposed him at his every step. And he certainly was wiser than they. He certainly was closer to his Father. "From every way that is evil have I restrained my feet, that I might keep thy words." You can't go down two different roads at the same time. If you want to keep God's will, you have to restrain your feet from going down the path of evil. If you go down the path of evil, you can't keep God's word. It's really that simple, and you just have to make a choice. And then it says, "From thy judgments have I not declined, for thou hast set a law for me." In the previous verse, it talks about negatively refraining from doing evil, but here he's talking about how we don't refrain from obeying all that God has commanded us to do. The Christian life is not just a list of don'ts. There's a lot of do's in the Christian life, and if we focused on the do's, we would probably be able to overcome the don'ts. In Psalm 33, we hear the words, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And both those things have to be done together. We have to turn away from evil and do good. You can't just turn away from evil, because it's like weeding a plot where you might want to plant a garden, but if you don't plant anything in the place of those weeds, you're just going to get more weeds. You need to plant something positive in the place of the things that are negative that you've removed. How sweet to my palate are thy sayings, more sweet than honey to my mouth. When a person first takes his steps on the path of the Christian life, it can be difficult to live according to God's word. One might have to force oneself to do what they should or refrain from that which they should not. But as the grace of God begins to bring spiritual health and renewal, what was once hard becomes a joy. The things of God become one's highest joy and pleasure. From thy commandments have I gained understanding, therefore have I hated every way of unrighteousness. This section began by talking about loving God's word, and here we find the results of that love. If we love God's word, we gain spiritual understanding, and we truly come to hate sin. St. Basil the Great was asked the question, what's the sign of a cleansing of the heart? And his answer was, when a person hates sin. When you hate your sin, you know that your heart is pure. Many Christians, and I think it'd be safe to say most Christians, have a constant war between two contrary loves that reside in their heart. There's their love for God, and then there's a remaining love, a lingering love for sin. And even if such a person refrains from sin, they're not really secure, because under the right circumstances, their love for sin might yet get the better of them. But a heart that is cleansed and hates sin is the heart of a Christian with perfect love. This is the end that we're striving for, to love God with perfect love and a hatred for sin. And if we have that hatred of sin, then we have nothing to fear. We are truly attaining sanctity in this life. But how do we get there? By what we said at the very beginning. Oh, how I have loved thy law, Lord, the whole day long is my meditation. Let us learn to love God's word. Let us not let a day go by where we don't partake of it and allow its words to bring us grace and to enlighten our souls. And let us pray that God will also give us the wisdom to understand it and the power to do what it says. Amen.